Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 35. On this week's show, we go back to the Disney Movie Hour. This week, we are featuring 1946's Song of the South. To my left, as always, is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Across from me is Kevin. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
And to his left is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. Alright, that was Boo Bass by Pogo. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod for this show. And on Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you will find our little group. And then you add yourself. And then we got a nice group brewing over there, too. There's a lot of good conversations going on like on a daily basis now. Yeah. So it's nice. It's really blossomed up. And if you head over to iTunes and give a 5-star review, we'll read it on the air. And we're going to check for that later because I'm not sure if we have one this week. But we'll look into that later.
Yeah.
A little thing that I should say beforehand. We had a conversation this week on our Facebook group page, and it was basically about language. And for those who listen to Film Basement, it's an explicit show. Like, it's an adult-only show. And I feel that without us doing it, we have an adult show. I have censored out. I've edited out like little slips of language here and there over like, and nothing big, just like minor swearing. I'm not talking about what happens on the Film Basement. The Film Basement is an arena in which it's nurtured almost. Like it's like a really a like loud party. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but
it's a hangout.
It's like a hangout. It's a party where everyone is just whatever you want to say, you can say. And that is how we normally are. And we have felt kind of weird on the Disney show, because I know that a Disney show, you instantly think family and all that. And while I agree, I think it's then also very false of us, because I feel like I'm putting on like a salesman act half the time.
Yeah.
And I don't like doing that. Yeah. So I've always enjoyed the Film Basement, like just performing that show so much more than performing this one, because I feel like we are so in a box.
Because you're more performing on this show because you have to.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a radio guy or something weird like that.
I feel like I have to measure my sentences before I say them sometimes on this show.
Yeah.
Whereas the Film Basement, it just comes out.
Yeah, it just comes out. Now, we're not saying like we're going to turn into a George Carlin hour. Like, that's not what it is.
Yeah, no, and like you had said on the page, this material doesn't lend itself to that either.
That's the thing.
That's the thing. It's not going to be
anything like that. This is a subject. I mean, talking about Disney is something that we genuinely love.
Mm-hmm.
So. And on the other show, when we're talking about stuff that we hate, like, it's easier to say, like, oh, and just, you know, let out something, because we're forced to watch things that we probably may not like, you know, because we're just going to see whatever film comes out. So basically, we are going to make this whatever your definition is, it's going to have a little bit more of an adult feel to it. I'm not talking about Showtime, you know, R-rated Showtime shows. I'm talking about, like, AMC. You know, if someone says shit, I'm not going to bleep it out. That's it. If you're not cool with that, I totally understand. I thank you for listening. And, you know, there's 100 other shows that I'm sure you'll love. And I feel bummed that you'll leave. For the people, though, who responded to this question on the Disney Magic Hour,
everybody seemed cool.
No one seemed like they cared.
Yeah.
We had one or two people who were like, well, you know, I wouldn't want it to turn into something very rough, and that isn't what it is. We're not going to go out of our way. Like, that's the thing. This isn't, I don't think it's edgy to curse. I don't think it's cool guy, pop my collar, you know, to curse. It's just kind of what happens every now and then. It's just the way we talk. And to inhibit that is weird, and we work for ourselves. This show is free. You guys are cool with it. Let's just have fun. And Song of the South is going to bring up some uncomfortable things anyway, probably. So with that being said, we have a guest with us tonight who you would normally recognize from the Film Basement if you haven't listened to that. And that's Kevin. Kevin, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
So I asked you to be here today very specifically because Song of the South has always gotten, it has that reputation about racism behind it.
Correct, yes.
Is it a racist film? And I didn't think that three white people are the people who should discuss that.
Good call.
I think that you can discuss it, but I don't think that...
You're not going to have the right perspective.
And you're going to walk on eggshells.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We would
yes.
walk on eggshells talking right. about it, where whenever we discuss race and stuff on the Film Basement, which is comes up fairly often.
Well, I'm on that show.
Yeah, you are on
yeah,
that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
But whenever we discuss like race and film and this and that, it makes it a lot easier to have somebody who actually understands it, because I'm white. I've never been racially profiled. Like, it's never happened. I've never been pulled over because I'm white. It's never going to happen. So I wanted to have you here just to talk about, not to only talk about that, but I just wanted your opinion on this film also, because you're not a Disney person. You're not really like a Disney person.
Not to that extent, no.
So I wanted an outside opinion on this as well towards that. We were to have another guest, but unfortunately a family emergency came up literally the last minute, like a half hour before we recorded. So he's going to hopefully join us next week, and next week is really going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to having him no matter what on the show. So do we want to – let's start off by talking about the movie a little bit. I know that came out in 1946.
Yep.
It's got a runtime. I had a minute, an hour and 18 minutes. That was the version we watched. We'd noticed on some websites that there were some longer cuts.
Yeah,
I mean, what I had seen was 94 minutes, but I know what I watched was not 94 minutes.
I feel like that's just a wrong entry
so.
Into a couple of sites.
Yeah, it's wrong on a lot of sites. But, yeah, I could not find, like, where the 135 film actually was.
Yeah, because I was mine was, like, what'd you say, 118?
Yeah.
118.
Yeah, I think that was definitely what mine was.
So, Melissa, you had a little bit more info on the release and whatnot. Did you want to talk towards that? Not that – now, this movie is such a history that we definitely could not cover it. There are books about – multiple books. There are multiple websites all dedicated to the history of this film because it is such a strange thing. It, or maybe not. Who knows? But it's such a covered aspect of Disney because they're so quiet about it.
It's such a controversial thing, I think, for Disney
yeah,
to cover.
Yeah, so it's gotten a lot of attention outside of just, you know, normal interest that you would find on Disney films. So we're going to give a little bit of history, but then we're going to do what we normally do, and we're going to talk about the plot of the film and whether or not, you know, we're going to have answer our three questions. Does it stand up? What's the iconic shot, which actually was pretty hard for me, and then I figured it out at the end. And is this film a morals film or an emotional film? Which one is it trying, or does it try to do both? We have ones that have done both. I believe Bambi was one of the both.
That was definitely, yeah.
So, Melissa, what do you got for a little bit of background on Song of the South?
Well, initially it was based on the character Uncle Remus, who was created back in 1876. He made a first appearance in the Atlantic Constitution newspaper by Joel Chandler Harris.
Mm-hmm.
He was the author on that. Just based on the movie itself, Walt wanted to, he had been doing a bunch of fairy tales from England and Germany, you know, those type of myths and tales.
Yeah.
And he wanted an American one. So he figured that this character would kind of bring that American spirit, I guess, was what he was kind of going for.
Yeah, he's going for, you know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when it premiered in Georgia, and a lot of the actors, especially the actor who portrayed Uncle Remus, was unable to attend because the theater was segregated.
Great start.
Yeah, so initially it had a really rocky start. Obviously, it wasn't received very well.
And that's, I'm just saying, that's James Baskett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Who actually passed away. 2 years after this film premiered, I believe in 1948,
yeah,
from a heart condition.
Yeah, and then he received an honorary Oscar in 1948.
Yeah. In 1948, he received an honorary Oscar for the role.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, like many of the films that we had already gone over, this one did actually get a couple of re-releases. It was re-released again in 1956 in the theaters and 1972.
Maybe that's where the different runtimes came in. Maybe one of those re-releases was an edited version.
Yeah, could have
definitely.
Possibly editing out a sequence that we will definitely talk about in full. later on.
Yeah, and then the final time was actually in 1980 for the 100th year of Joel Chandler Harris's first book of Uncle Remus.
And that book, I believe, was Uncle Remus, His Songs and Sayings.
Yes.
So, you know, 1980, okay, that's a while ago. That's, you know, 35 years ago, whatever it would be. But 36. It's so weird that from then, this movie is now, like, the thing that shall not be named.
Yeah. Right. Like,
even despite Splash Mountain being one of the most well-known attractions mm-hmm. in all of the resorts
Definitely.
All over the world, based off of this film, it's so weird to me.
And I think this is one of the first movies where it has an attraction in the park. You know, we've done it with, like, Snow White and even, you know, Pinocchio's Monstro and stuff, but it's the first movie where it has an attraction, but it's not so closely tied with the movie that a kid nowadays, if you went in and said, where are those characters from, they would probably not be able to tell you it was Song of the South characters.
And I remember when they, just recently, when they had the little statues mm-hmm. around the courtyard in Magic
yes.
Kingdom, Br'er Rabbit had one.
Yeah, he definitely did.
So, that you know, someone made a decision of like, yeah, we want to highlight this because yeah. it's, you know, from Splash Mountain, but I'm so curious of how many people went up to that statue. And, okay, they recognize him for the ride, but then the follow-up question was, well, what are they from?
Yeah.
Because there's got to be a generation of people who have no idea this film exists, right?
Oh, yeah. No, there's probably
I mean, I'm 39, and I know them from books growing up, like the Disney books growing up as a kid. That's how I knew a Br'er Fox, Br'er Rabbit, and Br'er Rabbit.
You had all the Disney books, too, huh?
I owned all the Disney books, Kev.
Jesus.
I still have some of my Disney books.
Oh, yeah?
Nice.
Yeah.
I will not let my mom throw out the Sleeping Beauty ones.
But I did have them. So I knew who the characters were, but I didn't know they were from a movie.
I'm sorry. Going back to you, what were we talking about exactly? I forgot.
I was thinking, you know, we don't usually touch upon... We initially wanted to do a lot of the... We wanted to do all the animated films and then whatever films had an impact in the park.
So yeah, yeah.
This would be like that second category. But with all the films that we've gone through that have had attractions or have attractions in the parks, I feel like this is the first one where, yeah, majority of, I think anybody born maybe after the 1990s have no idea that the characters in Splash Mountain originated in a movie.
It could just be like, oh, they made this up for a ride.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
yeah.
The
yeah.
statue in the...
Like Space Mountain, there's no one in there that's from a Disney... Well, there's references. But there's, you know, the guy with the goggles, when you're going up the ramp, he's not from a Disney film.
Exactly.
And I love those space goggles. They are absolutely insane. So the movie comes out, and it's basically called Not Great, is one way to put it. And a tinge of racism.
Just a touch.
Well, no, it's the other thing. Like, okay, I know it's really easy to make that the thing, and I understand like why you would say that, but let's talk about let's talk about the plot of the film first. Let's talk about the plot of the film first, and then we'll go into, are there sections of this film that can be deemed racist? And also, what is our definition of racism? Because racism comes in many forms.
Yes.
Racism can come in ignorance. Mm-hmm. Racism can come through hatred. Mm-hmm. Racism can, you know, just kind of exist like it's the norm, which I would also account to ignorance. Mm-hmm. But
well, yeah, I think like the Zootopia form of racism with the, oh, not you.
Yeah.
Like that kind.
But also, there's racism in films where it's just that was the norm. That was the societal norm. So when they made it, it was with a racist feeling, but no one was like, hey, we're pretty racist on this. It was like, nope, we think the way everyone else does.
It's a product of the time.
Like, yeah, like if you grew up in the South in the early 1900s,
that's what it was.
Racism was just how things were. I don't think there were many options, you know, where you would say like, oh, well, it could go like that. Like, I don't really know. So I think that there's many ways to break down racism. So, yeah, is the film racist in a way? Yes. Is it racist in the way of we hate these people? No.
No.
I don't think
so. No, it's not the hate.
But is there a racism through maybe where someone should have said, you know what, maybe this kind of a view isn't the right one? Kev, I feel like you want to say something. I'm sorry.
Tonally inappropriate is probably better.
That's great.
Label.
That's absolutely great. Yes. And even, I mean, 46 is young, but it's early in the time, but it would have been nice to see a more progressive. Even though, but then there are parts of the film that I feel are very progressive. That's the thing, like the kid walking with Uncle Remus hand in hand, the child Johnny, I believe his name is discovering that his happy place is talking with Uncle Remus in front of the fireplace. That is something that Walt could have gotten a lot of shit on.
And even,
you know,
like,
saying like this white boy is very comfortable being friends equals with this black man, and I feel like he's also on an equal intellectual ground with not Johnny's mother, but I guess Johnny's grandmother, the one who owns the home.
Yeah,
she and Remus, it's almost as if like they have their own connection in their own way,
right? Yeah.
And that's also very forward thinking. But then the way that Remus acts towards the mother when he gets scolded is not. Like, that comes off as kind of awkward.
Yeah, that I think is the big area that a lot of people have comments on.
Yeah.
I do also think, just talking progressively, though, even Johnny and the young boy, I forgot his name.
Racist.
No, I had it. My handwriting was terrible because I couldn't.
It's okay, don't worry about it.
But yeah, just the fact that they have that friendship, you know, they're joking around with each other, and he's, you know, able to come into the little boy's room, and it's not a big deal. You know, the mother doesn't tell him to get away.
Glenn Leedy is his name. His name was Toby, though, also.
That was it. Yeah, Toby the character. Yeah.
Now, look, Kev, I know you're laughing immediately. I immediately thought of Roots.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I was like, when was Roots written? And that was like in the 70s. But that's a moment that when they wrote it, obviously they had no idea. But now you look, you're like, oh my God, did you name the black kid Toby? It's like, wow. Like, who made this decision? And whoever they are, fire them immediately. And I mean, Hattie McDaniel, best known for playing Mammy in Gone with the Wind, is kind of playing Mammy here too. I mean, it's not really much of a thing. So you get that, like, oh, well, she can do that role. You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, but then Uncle Remus, I feel, is a very complex character. He's not a simple character. Right. He's got a lot of layers to him.
Yeah.
So you see Walt's love for that character, I think, a lot.
Yeah. And because for him, he was like the key storyteller. And I think Walt wanted to make it more than just, oh, he's just telling a story. Like, he wanted him to be as complex as, you know, any other character that he had written before. So I do see that, like, care was put into the development of his character to give that layer to him.
I mean, did everyone else feel that? I mean, on the overall, was Uncle Remus a well-rounded out character? You know, maybe I thought he was by far the best part of the film.
I thought he was also.
In a film didn't have a lot of highlights.
No.
I thought it was okay, but whenever it went towards Johnny too much, I started not caring. As soon as Remus showed up and they did the animated sequences, I was full in. I was like, oh, I like this. So much like Walt, like, he thought the most interesting thing was the stories, and he was right.
Yeah.
You know, the young boy, I don't know.
I would say the fact that he was not just a well-rounded character, but a father figure to Johnny.
Yeah.
He would, for that time, what, 46 again?
1946.
That's amazing.
So
when you go to the, is it progressive in certain, obviously, yes. It definitely is. There's just that awkwardness is right there. I don't know how to separate.
So let's talk about I was going to do plot synopsis, but I mean, there's really not much to go on. I mean, Johnny's a young boy. He goes with his mother and his father to move down to the plantation. I guess like the family plantation.
Yeah, it was the grandmother's.
The grandmother's.
The grandfather had passed away, so she's there by herself.
And then when we get there, we learn that the father is leaving. We're never told why.
He's a controversial journalist.
Is it
because he's pro-race relations?
I think it's because he's anti-race relations. Wait a minute. How do you mean that?
No, I'm saying like he's supposed to be a good guy, I think.
That's what I would think.
Because they don't really explain that at all.
At first, I thought he was going to fight in the Civil War.
This happens post-Civil War. Post-Civil War, yes.
But now, with it being post-Civil War, there's a lot of It just looks like slaves going to the field.
Well, that's the thing. They're never called slaves.
They're not, but they look really happy to be working for white people in squalor.
That's kind of what happened.
Like, yeah, they were.
I know. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the term.
But it looks bad.
No, it does.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it just looks bad because it looks like they're really happy to be doing pretty much the same thing they were doing prior to the war.
Well, it's kind of like the during the civil rights movement, during the all that time, that you know they're in the fields, they're singing songs, they're whistling, they must be happy because happy people do that. Like that was a defense of that sort of thing. So well, it's kind of
working
out
in the sun, sure.
You know, but I'm saying that's playing into that same thing. Like they're walking, you know, they're happy to be out working in the fields all day,
it's an awkward thing. So I mean, Kev, did you feel? I mean, like you were talking about the awkwardness.
Within the first, I guess, maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
When you start to get, obviously, Hannah McDaniels, I think, is the first person on screen.
I believe so.
She's on the,
they have the shot of the rocking chair.
You have the dialect that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just continues, and I understand what they were going for. It doesn't sound authentic to me, but I get it. But that being what it is throughout the entire movie, it's not comfortable to watch.
It's a little, and also
I didn't feel good watching it.
Like I understand that this is actually probably how everything was at the time, but seeing like all the white people look very clean, and then all the black people are like ragged clothes and this and that, and it's just awkward. Like
at the end of the day, they go up the hill and they go over it and then they come back down.
But then at the same time, you have all the stuff that we were talking about before,
right?
Where if you put it on its own, it's incredibly progressive. So is it an impossible task to balance a film that takes place during this time in American history? I mean, yeah.
For this kind of a movie,
For this kind of a movie, because completely. You can't be too honest, because you are making a family film. So, I mean, like, how much do you want to be like, we're going to really portray what people felt like then, but at the same time, I really want to have this lighthearted thing about this man and this boy that make a connection through the telling of tales. It literally raises the kid from the dead. You know, I mean, like, he got hit by a bull, which I thought was hysterical.
Which is fantastic.
I laughed at that because I loved it. I just loved it when he got hit by the bull. I wish they would have shown it. So that's a young Bobby Driscoll as well, actually, playing Johnny. You know, so if you cut the movie in such a way and you only show certain scenes, and if you took out other scenes, you might be able to say, like, wow, this is crazy progressive. And if you go the other way, you'd be like, wow, this is kind of ugly. Like, I don't want to sit through this.
Yeah. Also, to go kind of backtracking, when you were talking about how the white people looked clean and... Well, there was that kind of rednecky white family, the two boys and the...
Oh, that's a great point.
They all
ran
around barefoot also. So it was almost like, if you really want to break it down, you have, like, I would say Johnny and his parents were, like, the northern kind of people. And, of course, you know, the grandmother's just an old white woman. I don't know. But then you have, like, the southern people who, I know this is totally stereotyping and stuff, but, like, they're,
movie.
Poor and, you know.
No, actually, I remember I said that when we saw, I was like, you know, the worst stereotype in this film actually is probably the white family.
Yeah.
Like the barefoot, redneck. White family where the two boys look like they're inbred.
Let's drown some puppies.
Yeah, like that was like there was no redeeming factors to those kids at all. They were just pure evil.
Yeah, like the sister, the daughter of that trio was fine. She was you know, friends with
sister
Johnny.
Daughter.
Sister daughter. Sister daughter. Exactly. Exactly what it is. No, but yeah, like. So I don't
Ginny.
Know. Yeah, Ginny. I could not tell if he was saying Jenny or what.
No, it's Ginny. G-I-N-N-Y.
Okay.
So yeah, we have that. We have the incredibly stereotypical redneck family.
Yeah. So I mean, it's also kind of like not necessarily just doing whites are clean, blacks are dirty, kind of. You know.
But it's okay.
It is still
all right, agreed. But then
it's doing
stereotyping across the board.
Class warfare,
which maybe. Maybe when they were making it, they were like, well, you know what? We're going to balance this out. Like, everyone's going to get, like, this this kind of broad stroking. So we have these caricature-esque characters surround the ones that we're really going to develop. Mm-hmm. So it has its ups and its downs. Going towards the, is it racist? I think, Kev, what you said just before, what was the word that you
totally
wanted?
Totally inappropriate.
Totally inappropriate, I think, is a great way of putting it. Yeah. So, yes, it is quote-unquote racist. Is it anger-filled? I don't believe so. No. Does anyone feel that there's malice behind the filmmaking? No. So
maybe more ignorance, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Certain things.
And then let's talk about the animated sequences, which I thought were great. You know, behind Uncle Remus, these were my favorite parts of the sequences, but... I mean, okay, I was referencing this before, actually, with Kev, before we went on. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life was a skit on SNL. And it was between Richard Pryor and Chevy Chase. And it was an interview. I want to say this was like 75. This was one of the... It was the first year. First or second year. It was around there. I thought Carlin hosted the first show.
Carlin's the first show, you're correct. Yeah. It's definitely one of the earliest
shows. It's one of the earliest episodes. And Richard Pryor is being interviewed by... Chevy Chase, and they basically do a word association, and it starts off, you know, Chevy Chase is like tree, and then Richard Pryor's like dog, this and that, you know, night, sun, blah blah blah, and then he says very flatly, tar baby, and Richard Pryor stops and he looks at him and kind of like, what? And it's just tar baby. And then, you know, Richard Pryor says old fay, which is great, phenomenal. And that's where it goes from. Then they just start throwing like racist chuckles at each other back and forth, getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, you should really, if you've never heard of it before, just Google Richard Pryor, Chevy Chase, SNL. It will come up like the first. It's really going to probably be your only result.
Yes.
But so I am very aware of the word tar baby and how tar baby is a racist as hell word. So there's the animated sequence where Brer Fox and Brer Bear, who is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, Brer Bear is way dumber than I ever thought he was.
Yeah.
Brer Fox, actually pretty smart. He's like the Wile E. Coyote with a voice.
Wile E. Fox?
Yeah, I guess so. Dumb bunny. So, actually, wow. My God, this is really just Zootopia without the... without everyone getting along, yeah, it's a fox and a bunny. Wow, I wonder if that was on purpose.
Well, I mean, they even, you know, they do the whole fox and bunny in Robin Hood too, which with Zootopia they were showing a lot.
That's true. That's right. So he's trying to capture Brer Rabbit, and he makes a figure of tar and refers to it as Tar Baby a lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
There was a sequence where that word happened so many times in a row, and I was just like, I want to know what that man was thinking in his head when he was like, these people want me to read this script and say this.
But then that thing is, that went through a lot of people to get on the screen.
Yeah.
So
probably a lot of white people.
I thought this was just racist. Like, this was a point in the film where I was like, oh my God. But I don't know. In the 40s, was this okay? Like, was this a cool word?
They were not allowed to go to the theater to see.
That's a great point.
So, to my knowledge, Tar Baby was probably not a wrong word to use, and I believe. I don't see how that at the time was probably a bad word.
I'm sure you've been called words before in anger. Has tar baby ever, is that a, I don't think it's a current word anymore.
Not a current word, no. I knew the phrase tar baby because of this, the cartoon as a kid.
What, really?
I grew up in the 80s when I saw that part of the movie, I was like, oh, that's why I remember this. So I was like,
Oh my God, that's great.
The one animated sequence I don't remember.
Oh, that's what I do. That blew me away, yeah.
Okay, so they didn't cut this out then in later versions, maybe.
No, because the books I had also the books, had the tar baby.
That's great.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, it is a literal tar, baby of tar.
If they had somebody throwing spears and they called it a spear chucker,
no, I know.
You would say, that's not good.
At the time, I didn't know what it was.
I just was a life.
If they had a machine and it chucked spears and they were like, it's a spear chucker-o-matic, you'd be like, wow,
Okay. So yes, it is like a literal tar baby, but that's just, you know, and it's got a convenience
to, like,
almost.
Yeah. In the book, you know, for kids, so, you might not.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
So, Kev, did this part, obviously you were already familiar with it, but now you're older.
Right, watching it.
When you see that, are you like, well, that's just ignorantly stupid to let that through?
Honestly, I laughed.
Okay.
Because we're my sense of humor.
It is Kev, yeah. that's the best way to explain it, people.
I laughed, and you sit back and watch it a second, like, I can't believe they got away with this, but at the same time, it was funny to me.
Yeah, so and again, they weren't allowed in the theater, so of course they were allowed to get away with it.
Yeah.
But no one thought, like, during the making, okay, because again, like, I don't think that this film has any malice in it at all.
None at all.
But what was it such a thing that this is something that no one said, like, hey, we're trying to toe the line, and we may have kind of leapt over it, and then quickly back over the line. But we may leap and wave our arms in the air a little bit and then go, all right, I'm going back now, but thank y'all.
Yeah.
With the y'all, too. Well,
I'm sorry.
I just, there was a lot of tact that was not used in making this film.
Yeah.
There was you know what I'm saying? Kev, go ahead.
I'd also like to say there are a lot worse things going on. Warner Brothers had a whole bunch of cartoons that were far more racist and very.
That's a good point.
That is.
Not even like a little bit like,
let's take on Warner Brothers. Now,
you look at it now and go, okay, that was a little too much. Back then, you're like, wow, what the. So they were worse on that end. Disney, they did it. It's there. I hate the fact that it's kind of been. Whitewash, probably the best word to use. It's kind of been hidden from history. No, put that front and center.
I'm okay with that, too.
I have no problem with that. Let people know, okay, this is what happened. Leonard Maltin can come out, give a little speech for DVD, whatever. This is what it was. This is our history. Deal with it.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
I don't think it's egregiously offensive. I really don't.
What offended me was that it was very boring.
Yeah.
That was more offensive.
I kind of found this movie boring, too.
If it wasn't the animated parts, it was sleepy time.
Yeah, I didn't care about Johnny at all.
The story.
I just wanted to hear Remus and his stories.
Yeah. Which I think is probably also like where it might have lost a lot of the audience, you know, because the story for the live action parts wasn't compelling. I think the animation and even the live action animation combos were really fun.
The live action, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no. Really,
there's no tension.
It was just a bad story.
No, see, but I like the scenes between Remus and the grandmother. I like that scene a lot.
But kids
are not great usually on film.
Yeah.
Now, they're usually horrible. Now, we've watched some Disney films recently where I thought the kids were really great and compelling. I loved Summer Magic.
Mm.
And, you know, if Hayley Mills isn't interesting and compelling in that film, you don't care.
She was also a little older. I think
she was a little older. That's true. She's a smarter actress.
Yeah.
You know, she's not seven or however old Billy Driscoll was at this time. Bobby Driscoll.
He had to be.
He had to be 7,000 years old.
Like, try a Southern accent and then whine it. That was the direction for these kids.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard.
46. He was born in 37. So he was like 9, 10 years old, depending on when the filming happened in the year and all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, you know, just going, getting off of the whole racist impact. And because, you know what's crazy? If you search Song of the South on Google, if you scroll down a little bit, it says people also search for. There are two things. Disney movies is one of the categories. The other one, movies about racism.
I was going to say Birth of a Nation.
It's more like Selma and the House, you know, stuff like that. The Butler and all that kind of stuff. And I believe...
Don't say Tyler Perry.
I almost want to say it's a cover to Superfly. Nope, it's not. It's Coonskin from 1975. Birth of the Nation is in there, though. I've never heard of Coonskin, and reading it aloud is kind of a moment. So I'm happy I didn't fumble that horribly. So now let's just talk about the movie in terms of plot, movement, interest, characters. To reiterate, I think the character of Remus is fantastic. I actually kind of would have... if this man would have lived longer, I know that the response to this film wouldn't have allowed it, but I would have loved to have seen him do more of this character, even if it was on a record. I want to find out. I believe there are some.
There are definitely records. I
want to search them out. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, where he's just reading tales.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
I don't know how warped it might be, but... whatever.
This thing is warped.
No, I agree. If it was Uncle Remus telling the stories, and it was just kind of like a Fantasia almost type thing, where instead of a conductor and an orchestra being the in-between, it was Uncle Remus.
Introducing?
Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
I think that would have been a lot more interesting.
Or if just he went to go visit his grandmother, and and Remus was just telling him stories. Like, they used the thing is, they tried to put the plot of the movie around the tales of the Brer Rabbit.
What they really
Brer
wanted
Fox
to do.
And Brer Bear. You know, so if he it would have worked for me too if he just would have went and he would have heard stories from him every night.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, that was one of the things in the very, like, beginning where Johnny, like, ran away. Definitely was supposed to be running away at night, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely did not look like night. In a lot
yeah,
of those
yeah, there yeah. was there was a, yeah, there was a thing.
Maybe
but,
it was
I mean,
dusk.
No, it looked like noon in some parts.
Yeah,
and
no,
I was
no,
like,
it's,
this
it's,
doesn't
let's,
make
let's remember also, this is kind of early filmmaking for Disney, and
get on top of
it's expensive,
yes.
And they weren't making a lot of money in the 40s
no,
because
it
of the war and
like
stuff, so I'm actually okay with kind of looking past that, especially when I know other movies that came out during that time, and they are hot garbage. You know, not everything made in black and white was good. I hate it when people act like that. They're like, oh, the classics. It's like, have you watched all of the classics? Because a lot of them are terrible.
Well, you mean classics like Little Mermaid, right?
What did somebody say? Like, remember that classic Bolt? Yeah. Somebody made a comment recently.
Well, I don't remember who that was. Was oh,
like,
Ed.
Who's
was
that
Ed?
I was like, I will drop
top,
kick this
top
man.
Top five things to say to internet Disney flamers or something.
Yeah, that's
internet
right. Yeah.
Or something like that.
The most controversial Disney statements. Like, the Pirates of the Caribbean movie really need more Johnny Depp. Like, stuff like that. Kev, you said just before, like, boring, but were there any portions of the film? I mean, did you share the opinion that the animated sequences were good, but there was just too much in between it, or did nothing work?
There was definitely too much in between it. Obviously, the Zippity Dude song is very catchy.
I love Laughing Pace.
I hate the fact that I always get this guy's name wrong. Basket, correct? James Basket.
Basket, yeah.
Yeah.
His performance, it's unfortunately been cast aside because of all the controversy.
Yeah.
And
is really upsetting.
It's a bummer.
Considering the whole situation. I'm trying to find something positive to say about it, but honestly, I really
his
can't.
Performance?
No, not his performance.
Oh, okay,
movie.
Okay. Outside of his performance.
Like, I tried watching it three times last night.
My God.
The third time, finally got through it, and the last 20 minutes, like, I really need to watch the end. I can't suggest to anyone to ever watch this outside of the historical importance.
Melissa?
If you could edit it and just have, like, him introducing and then telling the tales and having the animated portions, I think that would be a perfect
work a lot well.
Yeah.
So the whole subplot, or main plot, I should say, with Johnny.
The main plot should be the subplot. Like, I don't care about Johnny. I don't care about his dad. Like, no.
I just care about the relationship of and like, you can say, like, it is that, but it's too much of the kid.
Yeah. If there's a payoff.
Yeah, okay, the kids, the father just comes back.
Like, hey, I'm here. Got my real dad here now.
Which I know, you know, they do that same thing with Mary Poppins, in a sense. Like, Mary Poppins is watching over the children, but ultimately she's there to repair the relationship with the father and then go. And so it works there. She's like, this job is done. He has to be raised. They have to be raised by their parents, not me. But in this film, like, that guy, that father's just not there. And then he just pops in at the end, and it's like, thanks, Dad. And Remus is like, you know, I'm going to go now. It's like, I mean, I know that they're seen, you know, walking off together and stuff like that, but the reappearance of the father was really jarring. It was weird.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, am I supposed to care that this dude is back? Because I have no reason. I number one, I have no idea where he went. The mother is insufferable.
Yeah, she's
like,
a snob.
If she got hit by the bull and killed and Remus had to raise the kid, I think everyone would have been the better. Because that mother is insufferable. She is a racist white woman.
And even the
That's what she comes off as.
Like, feels that way about her daughter. Like,
right.
I feel like she hates her daughter.
Yeah.
And I would hate her
also. It feels like the husband hates his wife.
The husband doesn't seem happy.
No, well, they kind of felt like they were like,
they were fighting.
I need a break. Right. Yeah, like, so I'm going back. You stay here with your mother.
Like, oh, they're getting divorced.
That's what I thought too. Yeah,
but then he's going to his job that never really explained, and it never comes back at the end. Like,
yeah,
what was the point?
And if their point was that they were just taking a break, they leave us in the dark as much as the kid is, well, which in some aspects I can say, oh, that's a cool way of doing things. You know, we know as much as our thing, but I don't think that's accurate.
Also, no. Well, I mean, I think
in that time period, like, it wasn't like an okay thing to be like divorced and stuff, yeah. But it was okay to be like, oh, he's living in Jersey and I'm over here in, you know, California.
Is that okay? Yeah.
Back then, that was more acceptable than a divorce.
That's great.
So
you should stay here.
I'm gonna go to Florida. No, you stay here. You like the cold.
Nah, you stay here. You have a job.
I have a job in
Canada. I quit. So right. So yeah, this movie wasn't great.
Yeah.
I was really excited to see it too because I had heard so much about it and I've heard people refer to it as a classic, like a, you know, a buried classic. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think it is. I don't think it's, look, I don't think it's bad. I really don't. I just think it's mediocre because the really good parts get buried under very boring stretches of time.
Like his, like the Zippity-Doo-Dah song, like his interaction with the animated birds and butterflies, like,
what you swatting at?
And with the bees, like, that was brilliant. The animation was gorgeous. I'm just going to keep talking.
What was it called? Mr. Mama Small Liquor, what was it called? Yeah,
something like that.
Come on. I know you know.
I can't think right now.
Okay. I'm sorry, Melissa. Okay. So, you know, the Zippity-Doo-Dah part I loved. I loved Laughing Place.
Yeah.
You know what actually was like my favorite moment? Was Basket's reaction to seeing Br'er Rabbit.
Yeah.
Like when the kids actually, and I thought to myself, like, oh my God, that's the movie. Like, why weren't there more of this? Because the luminosity on his face, like when he smiled and he was like, oh my God, it's real. I was like, oh, this is the best part of the movie. And now it's over.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like his this is a bummer. Acting and his interaction with the animated characters, I feel like it was, I don't know, unique. And I think it was, I don't know if it's groundbreaking. I don't know if I want to go that far. But
well, I mean, for the time, definitely was.
Yeah, so I mean, and it was done seamlessly. Mm. So I feel like if that was more of the highlight than Johnny, it would have been maybe.
It would have flowed for you better.
Or maybe been better.
So it's, by the way, it's Uncle Jemima's Smash Malt Liquor.
No, oh, that's right.
It's great stuff. Great, amazing SNL skit. If you guys ever want to look it up.
Do what you know, and I know booze.
And I know booze. SNL's Uncle Jemima Mash Liquor. If you search for that, one of Tracy Morgan's finest moments. So, unfortunately, we didn't sit well with this movie. In the overall sense, it's. I think it's moments of potential buried in poor acting by a young kid. It's not his fault.
No.
But it's not very compelling written. There's no one that I care about except for Uncle Remus, mm-hmm. and he's not there enough.
Yeah. No, it was 118 minutes. I believe there's only about 25 minutes of the cartoon.
Correct.
Yes. And maybe 5 minutes worth of live action that was
mixed.
Enjoyable.
Oh, okay.
No. Like that was.
Ooh, wow.
No, ouch. No. That was that, like, you could. That was good. The rest, most of the time, I found myself just waiting to get to the next story.
Yeah.
So here, Uncle Remus, tell the next story. That's all it was. I didn't care about anything else that was happening.
I agree. And I love, like, the integration with Uncle Remus into the start of the stories and into the animation. Like, when he was going fishing with the frog.
Yeah,
like,
that was cool.
Just, like, from having his regular fishing line to when he, you know, casts it off screen and then it bounces in and it's an animated,
it's nice.
Bob. It's a really... I wish we could get, if they're not going to release the movie, and I understand why they won't, stop ignoring it, first of all. Like, it happened. And then maybe just let's bring back certain, you know, an edited version and just have Uncle Remus's stories.
I almost feel like if they did that, people would be more up in arms because they're like, oh, now you're censoring what you're putting out as well. Like, you just can't, you know, you're now going to put this out, but you're going to censor it on top of it. And people would react even worse to that. Yes, it would be censoring. Of course it would be.
It would be editing so that you're not bored.
Censoring. That's the censoring, same thing, basically.
So that's like the definition.
Well, no, I'm not saying edit it because of the racist. If anything, I would say edit that second animated.
I understand what you're saying.
Just editing it because it's a boring movie.
Edit to make it a better film.
That's not the way people are going to take it.
Yeah, that's not the way it would go, unfortunately. It would go south really quick because people would react. Ah! I didn't even mean that. Now, actually, speaking towards this, Just really quick, because, like, you know, Disney stepping out and doing something that someone might feel controversial. One of the big things that happened just this past week was Disney, also Marvel, and AMC has actually come out and said they will do this as well. Okay. If they are going to boycott Georgia, if the religious, right. I'm going to put this in quotes, religious liberty bill is passed. And basically, look, it's worded in a certain way, but what it does is allow for anti-gay policies to be put into place. You can dress it up however you want in the wording. I understand that. But it will be exploited in the way that it's meant to be exploited.
Yeah, that's
towards,
purpose of it,
you know, towards establishing anti-gay stuff, yeah. Anti-gay establishments and so on and so forth. So Disney has actually gone out and said, hey, guess what? If you do that, we're not filming in you anymore. And they film a lot of their Marvel films there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's big business. And AMC, obviously, has some footage in there with The Walking Dead. And they have also kind of joined and said, go right ahead, pull that trigger, and then we'll be bye-bye. I want to say this was something that also happened. There was another state that was going through the same thing. It was either Alabama or something like that. Probably.
Indiana?
Yeah. Okay. Congratulations, Indiana. So I'm very curious to see how this plays out. I think it's embarrassing that this is something that's happening in 2016.
Yeah. Well,
Jesus
that's
Christ.
That's the whole thing. It's like it's this generation's racism.
There's also racism also.
Well, besides
yeah.
that.
I know what you mean.
Law-wise, everything's trying to get passed for anti-gay, yeah. anti-transgender, everything like
and
that.
Like, and if you read this and you don't feel that it's that way, that's fine. You know, you're seeing what maybe honorable people would look at it as. You're looking at it for what it is exactly face value. But just consider this. If Disney's lawyers read through this and they communally came to the agreement, and then the Disney company looked into it and said, we are going to go public with this and say that if this goes through, we're not going to go along with it. Trust me, that went with a whole lot more information and research than me or you combined will ever accomplish.
Yeah, this wasn't somebody on Facebook just being like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no, this is a very large, this is obviously a huge global corporation that does not do stuff like this unless it is fully researched and verified. And 100% that, you know, they obviously looked at this and this is where they saw it. So I'm curious as to where that goes. Let's go back to the film. Do you want to... Unfortunately, I feel like we kind of answered our first question, but we're going to go through it anyway because I like the process. I enjoy the process. Brian, if you were to put... Actually, this is actually a really great question. If you were to put this movie out now, does the film work? I want it from a racial sensitivity aspect and from a story aspect. I think we know where the story aspect is going to be. So maybe we don't have to rehash so much that we don't feel the story works very well. But if Disney said, you know what, we're going to do this, we're going to put this back out, what do you think, how do you think it would be received by the public?
Story-wise, yes, we've already covered that. Racially-wise, I think things like this are important to be out there because you can't hide from this stuff. This is how things were. This is something that came out, and this was a way people acted at a time and felt at a time. So I think it's something people need to see. So I think from that aspect, it would be received okay. I think now is a time. I think this is now is a kind of time where you can put that out where it would maybe generate useful discussion as opposed to just screaming about that it's racist or that it's not and all this other thing.
Kevin.
See, unfortunately, I disagree with that last part. Mm-hmm. I do believe this should be seen in terms of learning from our mistakes, basically. But because of our current climate, the way things are, you do know that you'd have YouTube commentators, you'd have people all over the news, everything. There'd be people defending it for the wrong reasons, and the people condemning it for the wrong reasons.
And they would be the highlights.
And that's all you would hear.
Yeah, but that is now. Like, that is the way it will be. It's not changing anytime right. soon.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not saying, happening. You know what? That's you're going to have to swallow that pill no matter what.
Exactly.
Unless the internet goes away.
Exactly.
You're going to have to swallow that pill. So if you're going to do it, just do it. Fall on the sword in a way. And say, like, you know what? yeah, this is going to be met with this and that. But Kev, you think that maybe that, would you still think that they should do that? Or, because I agree with you, like the middle ground of logic would not be heard.
Yeah, but there is no middle ground anymore. Right. There's no middle ground for anything. Yeah. I mean, personally, that's how I feel.
No, I agree with that. I don't actually, I feel like you would agree with that too.
Yes.
So, but would you want to see this released?
It needs to be.
Okay.
Should it be? Maybe not, but it needs to be.
Should it be? Okay. Yes, exactly. I think that's Kev put it perfectly.
I think, yeah, because I think, Melissa, let's go to you next. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, I agree with everybody. You know, I think it should be released. You know, they still have Gone with the Wind out there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have stereotypical speech and everything like that. And they're absolutely. Also, I mean, if you're going to show a plantation around post-Civil War time period, it is what it is. The whole Tar Baby animated part, that was its own issue. But I do think that you should have it out there, should have it released, and just, own up to it. This is what happened. This is what we made in the 1940s, you know, about a 1800 time period.
And then have a really well put together documentary by a third party. Yes. I'd love it done by a third party.
Yes, yes.
Have a documentary come out by a third party because if Disney does it themselves, people will say like, oh, well, you're just giving us this version. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'd love for them to have a third party do a documentary that comes on that DVD.
I was going to ask, I always get this wrong, TCM, TMC?
What Turner Movie Classics, TMC.
There you go. Would that be considered a third party?
I mean, they're our partner with Disney, so they... I think it would be considered a third party, but they do have a business agreement with Disney.
Maybe like a PBS type of thing.
I would love it. Yeah, I would love it. Ken Burns. Get Ken Burns to do. I mean, he's always doing documentary.
But he did the Civil War documentary.
Yeah, I mean, just tie that right in. Yeah. Something like that would be more what I would want to see. But I think that PBS could be a great middle ground in that. In having, you know, we're going to do this without... We don't have to get this approved by Disney. That's basically what it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be something that isn't approved by Disney. Now, the Walt documentary that was on PBS actually goes into this segment pretty strongly.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say watch the Walt Disney special that was on PBS. You can still find it on iTunes. I remember I bought it on iTunes for like $2 or $3.
I remember it was like, when it first came out, it was right up. It was $2.
So I'm not sure how much it is now or anything, but I would 100% suggest watching that because that is a third party that Disney gave them carte blanche and did not go through an approval process. Mm-hmm. It was just like, nope, what you get is what you get. We're not telling you not to put anything on screen.
Yeah.
And while I feel like they rushed the second part of Walt's passing and whatnot, I still think it was phenomenally done.
Yeah.
I am in the land of, bring it out. It's a good thing to look at and learn and read and say, like, you know what? Yeah, this is what we did. And this is where our mistakes are.
Yeah.
But this is also what we wanted to do. And we may have failed in the overall thing, but there was a good intention. You know, this, again, I don't think anything.
It's a noble failure.
Huh?
It's a noble failure.
It is. It's a noble failure. It was not done with malice, which I think is very important.
Yeah.
And I think exactly what people who just want to get hits on their YouTube page, they're not smart enough to even understand that because they're morons.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really where a good conversation can come from.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, that's why we had this episode. I thought this was going to be an interesting episode, and I think it's turning out pretty well so far. Let's go towards, is it emotions or is it a morals film? This is an interesting one for this one. I kind of didn't prepare an answer for this one yet. Let me go. Melissa, why don't you go first on this one?
I'm going to go morals. Because I did not get any emotional reaction out of me with this. Like, I didn't care when he got hit by the bull. I didn't care.
Hysterical is what it was.
I didn't care when the girl got bullied and got mud on her dress. Like,
no, that actually angered me.
Because she got mud on her dress?
No, just because I thought it was like, all right, we get it. They're bullies. Like, did they do anything else in this movie?
Nope.
So maybe it's not the right reaction, actually. Maybe that's not exactly what I should have thought, actually.
Yeah. So the moral missed for you, but I think it was a morals film.
What is a moral?
Well, I think the moral in each tale is really kind of where it was headed. Because, like, you know, being smarter than, you know,
Sometimes you need to use your wits instead of your strength, instead of muscle, to get out of a situation.
And then, you know, the laugh in place, what makes you happy, where are you the happiest, and what was the middle one, moral-wise?
I was actually thinking of something else just now. I apologize.
Wasn't that the one with the smarts where he tricks the kids? Rabbit tricks the...
He tricks them, I guess, a couple times.
Yeah, he just kind of outthinks them, really. Yeah. But that's actually a part of the film that, constructurally, they do very well.
Yeah.
You know, he learns the lessons that need to be taught by Remus, and the story is in perfect timing with what's going on in the film.
Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm just more interested in animated rabbit than that kid.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Brer Bear and Brer Fox are basically the brothers, he's Brer Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little on the nose, actually.
A little bit.
You know what? And actually, that's a really good... We're just hearing the same story twice.
Exactly, right? Yes.
Because, the kid just does exactly what the character... What Brer Rabbit does. So it's like, yeah, no, I saw this already. And it was more interesting when... Animated. Where the bear Rabbit was really dumb. Yeah. That was more fun.
Where he got his fur ripped off.
Yeah. That was the more exciting thing. Kev, do you think this has a moral message, or is this trying to get an emotional response out of you?
Maybe it was trying for emotional, but just moral for me. I mean, obviously Uncle Remus and Johnny's relationship, two races coming together. That's the overall message.
That's the overarching,
But yeah, I really wanted to feel something. Knowing the source material, knowing anything about it, I wanted to have more than just okay as my response to it.
I'll go with that. Brian?
I have pretty much everything that was just said.
Okay.
It's more of a three, you know, little moral messages that the story really tells.
Yeah, but they kind of get repeated.
They kind of get repeated, yeah.
And they were more interesting the first time around.
It's like Aesop's Fables, with Rocky and Bullwinkle. Did anybody ever watch that when they were little?
I really didn't.
Yeah, so when they do the Aesop's Fables, it's a fun little animated, moral thing. And that's exactly what, tales were.
For me, I'm going to go with they were trying to get an emotional thing, and the only character I cared about was Remus. I didn't really care about anybody else, so the emotional thing didn't work for me. I love the overarching story. I mean, the overarching message, whereas that, almost, I don't know how to put it correctly, but storytelling knows no race.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that people can unify over, mm-hmm. is just the simple act of storytelling. That's great. I mean, that is 100% Walt Disney.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to put something, a creed on the Disney logo, it could be uniiting through storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
But this film, unfortunately, because the characters are not that very interesting outside of Remus, it doesn't hit. But I do believe it's going more for a moral. And for the moral, I think it works.
Yeah.
The emotion, though, unfortunately, falls flat.
Yeah, the only emotional thing I could see was when Remus decides to leave because he really can't tell his stories anymore.
Yeah, that was actually kind of sad.
That was kind of sad.
And again,
I really felt
it's all about Remus.
Yep.
It really is. Remus. Yep. It's all about Remus. It's a shame that this, Kev, you were saying, that this performance is kind of forgotten to time.
Really overshadowed by the controversy.
Yeah. So let's talk about iconic shot of the film. Now, I thought this was interesting because... In my brain, there was a lot more interaction between Remus and the animated characters than there was in actual film. So I have a very strange choice. Who does anyone want to say what their iconic shot of the film would be?
The one that always sticks out to me is the Brer Fox holding Brer Rabbit by the ears.
Okay.
And, going to throw him into the briar patch.
Yeah.
That was from the books that I had read. I always remembered that.
That image in particular.
That image in particular.
Yeah. I got you. Okay. Melissa, did you have one for this film?
Yeah. When I think of this film, I think of Uncle Remus surrounded by the butterflies and the bluebird when he's singing Zippity Doo Dah.
Zippity Doo Dah.
Him in the animated world, transitioning there.
You like people surrounded by animals, because I think that was your Bambi thing too, was with all the animals.
That's a whole
around.
Movie.
No, but the one scene where with all the animals, I think that was hers. Was that yours?
Mine was with Flower, when he finds Flower in the flowers.
I thought yours was when Flower. They all come to see Bambi.
I think that may have been Scott.
Okay, that may have been Scott.
Kev, do you have an iconic shot for this show? God help me.
I do. You know what it is. I grew up with the image of Tar Baby. That's...
It's okay.
That it. Sorry.
That's the book. That's the cover of the
book.
Yeah,
Brian is showing me a cover of the book. If you want to search for it, it's Br'er Rabbit and the Tar Baby.
And I know I've had that.
That was the book I had, yep.
That looks bad.
Yeah, right?
That looks pretty bad. Oh, man. I swear to God, I thought it said spear on the bottom, but it doesn't say see and hear.
It's a see. It's a, it was a cassette.
My head just went like really quickly, and I was like, spear? No, not that.
No.
So for me, Melissa doesn't care. She's looking at her phone.
I'm trying to find my picture. Go ahead. I'm listening. I know you had an interesting one, so do tell.
No, no, no. Brian was trying to show you the cover of the thing. Before. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Actually, for me, I'm going to go with the opening shot of the film, which is just the Remus's chair in front of the fireplace.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with Melissa. I think that your answer is the right answer. Like, if there's a right answer, I think it's yours. And more than likely, that's the one I'll probably use for the you know, for the article when we post this up. But I don't know. There was something about that shot that makes me think now of, you know, like Remus telling his stories.
Yeah.
And granted, he's not sitting in the chair at that moment. It's an empty chair. But I don't know. It's just there was something homey about it. There was something like storytelly about like sitting around the fire and sitting on the ground as, you know, an adult or something, you know, tells you a story while sitting in a rocking chair. There's just something very, very pure about that image to me. And that was mine. That was my iconic shot for the film. And I thought it was a simple one and one that I had no idea was in there prior to watching the film. So, Melissa, did you find your picture?
I did, because it has to be very specific, because I do remember the tree. He had the pink tree.
All right. Well, save that and send that to me, please, so I can use it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, you using that voice, a little racist. Just kidding.
You're not allowed to tell me that. Only Kevin is.
Thank you.
Well, that's racist, too,
that
now.
Kind of, yeah, that
my
was
God.
Yeah, wow. Oh, my God.
Jeez.
We got to end this quick.
So, yeah.
Don't edit me.
Before the Fuhrer's wife over here starts getting out of control. All right, guys. I think we're good here. Does everyone feel good?
I think so.
No.
You're not feeling good? No?
I watched this movie.
Yeah, not a great... Unfortunately, not a great family. It didn't live up to what I was hoping it was.
I kind of wish it was more racist.
Yeah.
And I would actually... Yeah.
Because you're just saying, like, why people hate it.
Really, at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess you could get offended by this, but you're really trying.
You really are.
Yeah. I think you're really trying. This is... not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because I've seen some racist garbage show up in some Disney shorts. Not good. Like depictions of black children in Fantasia.
Right.
Yeah. What was... Oh, the Reluctant Dragon.
The Reluctant Dragon short. Yeah. I forget which one was in there.
The baby.
Baby Huey? No.
Baby.
I can't remember. But with the smart baby, there was some bad racist...
Baby Huey? No.
I don't know. Was it?
I don't know.
If it is, great. There was some bad racist stuff in there, and obviously the work that they did during the propaganda for World War II, there is some extremely, you know, what's what I'm looking for? I know racist is the word, but stereotypical, Asian depictions and stuff like that. Like very...
No, racist is probably the better word to use.
Yeah, actually, probably racist is a really good word for that one. So it's not like... There's worse examples, basically, that came out of that era. Yes.
Baby Weems.
Baby Weems.
Close enough.
Damn it.
It's going to bother me, sorry.
No, that's good. I was hoping someone was going to look it up. So, okay, guys, you are listening to Boo Bay. Oh, wait, do we have a review?
We have two.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, we do.
Bring it here, woman. Bring it here. I hope they keep listening after this.
Take back that review.
Actually, do we have three, or is it?
I think we read the one from February, but I'm not sure.
You know what? I'm gonna read it. No, we did read that one. Okay, Disney Happiness by Calston? C.A. Alston. I like it. I wanted to find a podcast regarding Disney for my running days. I'm sorry, hold on. It's a very tiny screen. My eyes are like freaking out. I wanted to find a podcast regarding Disney for my running days to help pass the time. I find myself going out of my way to add an extra walk or run just so I can listen to them. Truly addictive and so glad I found them. Keep up the wonderful work. Thank you so much. That's really, really nice.
Thank you. And yay for running.
Yeah. Well, not for me. That's only run when chased. And from Courtney VR, fun show full of fun people. I'm so glad I found this show. I know I'm late to the game. No, you're not. You're a first year. That's fine. I know I'm late to the game, so I'm starting at the beginning because I enjoy you guys so much. As a massive Disney freak and movie buff, this show entertains me, informs me, and just makes me happy. If you ever need another girl, I'm in. I'll be honest. I actually have considered that.
Replacing me?
Yes.
No.
No. Not at all. I'm sorry. I
now,
said that out
yes.
loud.
Now, oh, my yes. bad. Thank you so much for the awesome reviews, guys. Thank you so much. Oh, and for everyone who was like in on that whole, you know, adult language thing, it just happened. Like, that was what you heard today is exactly what we were talking about. There was a couple of words came out. That was it. You know, we're not going for Scarface. It's just that conversationally, occasionally we're going to say something, and I'd rather just not edit us anymore. I think we're all cool. We're all adults here, and if we're not, ask your parents if you can listen to this.
In all fairness, the title was Coonskin, so I mean...
Yeah, I mean, 1975's is, Coonskin. Yeah, I mean, if anyone has seen that, please let me know. If you have seen 1975's Coonskin, contact us on our Facebook page and just let us know. And I want to discuss that because yeah, that is a poster. That is a very Warner Brothers.
That's a very
image,
Looney Tunes
actually.
Poster.
I mean, that's almost.
Okay. Yeah, that has to
be. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I actually may have to watch that. All right, guys, right now you are listening to Boo Base. You can find this video and more of Pogo's over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/PogoMix, and his website is PogoMix.net. We are LastGenPodcast.com, and we have expanded, actually. We have added two new shows to the Last Gen Podcast Network umbrella. That's long. So, number one off the bat is another Disney show called Unleash the Magic. That is going to be hosted by Maria Riboli and Tom Burka. Yeah. And that is going to be coming out, I want to say, in the middle of the week. I'm sorry, I don't have the schedule in front of me.
They come out Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, thank you very much. Now, they're going to be covering more of the park news aspect of Disney, and we are going to be covering more of the film stuff like we've been doing. The great thing about this is that we have an open door policy on everyone's show, so if they want to pop on and do an episode of Disney Magic Hour, great, and we're going to be on theirs. Actually, I'm recording with them tomorrow for next week's show, so you'll hear me on Unleash the Magic.
You'll definitely hear them when we review The Jungle Book in April.
That's right, yeah. Their first appearance on this show, unless something comes up before that and we're just like, hey, come on over, is going to be for the release of the new film, Jungle Book, directed by Jon Favreau, which looks... Man, if that movie matches up to the expectation that it's building with its trailers, it's going to be a hell of an experience. I really hope it does. I'm a big Favreau fan, and I'm a big fan of like everyone who's in that movie.
I love the cast pictures with their
I have one question. How large does an orangutan get?
Apparently quite large.
I believe Favreau said it's based on like actually an extinct ape that once did exist, and they just used it for the size, and because evidently he's not overly nice. He's not singing, you know, songs and whatnot as he was, you know. The other show is the Stage Door podcast, and that is going to be focused on like the business side of show business. Acting, directing, they're going to have a lot of interviews on that show. And if you're into the entertainment realm, which I assume you are, I mean, you listen to a Disney show, I absolutely think you should listen to it. It's really, really great. So we are now four shows strong. We appreciate everyone's support, and thank you so much. So you can find us on Twitter for this show at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. And on Facebook, again, search for Disney Magic Hour. And to keep yourself in the loop for all of our podcasts when they release on the day of, search for Last Gen Podcast. Last Gen is one word, L-A-S-T, G as in grenade, E-N as in Nancy, Last Gen Podcast. And that is not an interactive page, but that's like our page where we just post all of our upcoming shows and stuff like that. So it's a great way to keep up to date on everything that's coming up and any special events that we might be doing in the future. So definitely head over there and join. And if you head on over to iTunes and you hit subscribe and give Disney Magic Hour a 5-star review, I will read it on the air. And thank you very much. So till next week, which we are going to review Mr. Toad, the Wild... Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure. No, we're going to be reviewing Mr. Toad and Ichabod Crane next week. And I'm really hoping we're going to have our guest on. As long as everything goes well with them and their personal thing and they're cleared up, we're going to have a really great guest. We wanted to have him on the show for a while, and it's really exciting. Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Pete. Say goodnight, Pogo.
have no idea, but it would be really great if it didn't do it again.